This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, good to be with you.
And on a lot of these programs, Bridget arranges the guests and sends the guests some questions. And sometimes I get a chance to peek at them and know a little bit about what we're talking about. Sometimes not. So this is going to be a surprise for me, but I'm looking forward to it and want to get started with it right away.
Well, our guest today is popular blogger and Dr. Pepper super fan, Aggie-loving, type A mom of six with a personality the size of her native Texas. Joining us via phone from Austin, Texas, is our guest, Catherine Whitaker. Welcome to Faith in Action, Catherine.
Thanks, Bridget. It's great to be here.
And Catherine and I, we go back, 20 years, something like that. We did youth ministry together.
Yeah, make us sound young. Maybe it was just 10 years ago.
Yeah, maybe it was 10 years ago. I don't know.
But you're
an author, a new author, a blogger, a speaker, and a mother of six. How in the heck do you do it all, Catherine?
Well, I don't do it all on the same day.
Well, that's good. That's a good tip. And in a way, I won't give away any good stuff in your book, but let's talk about your book. You just actually newly released book, Live Big, Love Bigger. And I love the title. What do you mean by live big and love bigger?
Well, our fifth child, everything was going beautifully and picture perfect and just according to plan, which was lovely. And then God gave us our fifth baby who was born premature. And so Luke sort of rocked our world. Not sort of, really rocked our world. And he taught us about the things that really mattered. He helped us enter into a real relationship with Jesus. And so in the pages of that book, I talk a little bit about how we were living this beautiful life, but how Luke's entrance into the world and our desire to live a more intentional life encouraged us and really forced us to live and love a lot bigger than we were. And it was a beautiful, hard experience, but one that I'm deeply grateful for.
So talk a little bit about yourself. I think you're a convert. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
I remembered correctly. My mind serves me.
good job, Bridget.
Still serving me well. And you attended Texas A&M. Talk a little bit about yourself and maybe how God maybe even got you into the church and then maybe catapulted you to start a blog. How'd you get into all this?
Well, mostly just because of a cute boy with blue eyes. I went to Texas A&M, having been a part of a lot of different congregations, Nazarene, Disciples of Christ, Methodist. I even joined Baptist into non-denominational churches. And then I met this really cute boy with blue eyes who was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's how every good story begins, right? So then we went to church, and I sort of fell in love with the liturgy. I mean, I fell in love with everything about the church, and so started asking him questions. What does this mean? Why do you do this? And fast forward a few years, we ended up getting married in the Catholic Church. I was confirmed an hour before my rehearsal dinner. That's a great story in the book. And then I just started, I've always been a writer, but I really started blogging maybe a year before our preemie was born. And then when he was born, the blog sort of became my online therapy in that I really chatted with God. That's how I started my deeper relationship with him, was through writing. It's always been how I talk to him. And fast forward, I guess, a few years later, and here we are. It's what he wanted me to do, and he opened the doors to make it happen.
So tell me a little bit about the blog. Like, what's the theme or what's the topic? Obviously, you mentioned, it being like kind of therapeutic and maybe your conversation with God. Talk a little bit about maybe who your target audience is or what people will find if they go there.
I'm really, I guess you would consider me like a lifestyle, everyone calls them mommy bloggers. I mean, I talk a little bit about everything. I talk about football because I'm a Texan. Mm-hmm. I talk about good food. I talk about the hard and the good things about motherhood. I love to throw parties, so you'll find a good dose of that there. So it's really just how we live life, and I try to be respectful of my kids, certainly as they've gotten older. So the tone of the blog has changed a little bit as I've grown up as a mom, but also as my kids have grown up. And I think people will just find someone that's just living their life and how they live a life in Christ. And so hopefully I'll make you laugh a little bit over there, but there may be a few posts that might make you shed a tear or find out that you have allergies or something like that. But I hope that through all of that, people see how they can help put God into their life in every way, not just on Sundays, but, you know, every day of the week.
I think we're all looking for those kind of nuggets or tidbits, and I think it's nice to have someone to kind of walk the journey with us, and it sounds like that's kind of what your blog is about. Catherine Whitaker is who we're talking with today. She's a blogger, speaker, and author of Live Big, Love Bigger, and I love the cover of your book. I know you're a graphic designer by profession, and it's... Did you design the cover?
I didn't, but I had a lot of input. Ave Maria Press is great. I sent them, I think it was 3 or 4 pages of font ideas and mm-hmm. Pantone colors and covers that I loved, and it was a beautiful collaborative effort. So I was grateful that what I had in my brain, it came to life. And actually, a photo on the cover, so it's my cowboy boot.
I was just going to ask you that.
A good friend of mine took a picture. She took that photo, and so that made it even better because it's, I felt like it was really, they really just kind of nailed it. They did a great job.
So I love kind of the tagline on here. It says, getting real with BBQ, sweet tea, and a whole lot of Jesus. So talk about that. Like, I think people want to get real with Jesus, but maybe they don't really know how.
I thought you were getting ready to say maybe they don't like barbecue and sweet tea.
Well, yeah, I guess there might be a few listeners that don't like that. I don't know. They must be crazy if they don't like those two things, but, you know.
I would agree. Yeah, I think, you know, in the book, I really wanted to meet people where they were. I didn't want, I'm not an expert, Bridget. I'm just a mom who loves Jesus and is making a whole lot of mistakes along the way. And so in that book, I really wanted people to see how we live our life and how it's similar to other people. You know, hopefully bits and pieces of our life will resonate with them. One of the things that we did in the book, and probably why barbecue made a debut on the cover, was because we took a 10-month pilgrimage around the state of Texas. So we drove about 2,000 miles, took all of our kids with us, and we visited the top 50 barbecue joints
in the state
of Texas. And then we also visited some really beautiful religious sites, the missions in San Antonio, a beautiful basilica in South Texas in San Juan, and a lot of places in between. But barbecue was really the thing that drove it, and then Jesus rode shotgun with us. So it was pretty awesome, actually.
That is really awesome. Now, you, I think something I read in the book talked about, I kind of picked up that you're like a type A personality. Maybe.
You should know that about me.
I know. Maybe a perfectionist. I'm kind of like that, too. Of course, I'm recovering from that. But you're not, you wouldn't say that you're a perfectionist so much anymore, or that's your tendency, or what? Tell us about, like, kind of what happened with Luke that made you different, or maybe kind of help you to maybe change your perspective or your maybe standards. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying?
I do. I think for me, I felt like with the first 4 kids, that I was able to kind of keep the ship running. Like if we kind of went off course, I could kind of get it back together and I could still keep all the balls up in the air. And then Luke happened and you can't have a 44-day NICU stay and endure the trauma that he brought into our lives and that he experienced himself personally. You can't endure something like that and still keep it all together. Like, you finally have to admit, okay, Jesus, like, Uncle, I can't do this without you. And or you go away from Jesus. I think we only had 2 choices, and we chose to go toward him. And so Luke really caused me to say, okay, Catherine, you cannot do all these things. So what is most important to do? What is God asking of you? And how does he want you to surrender some of the things that you've been holding on tightly to? And I think it allowed me to recognize that I'm human and that everything doesn't have to be perfect. And it's really in the imperfections that we develop this deep dive relationship with Jesus. And I think that's what I was afraid of, is I was afraid of being real with him, that he might see the real me and maybe he wouldn't like the real me, which is silly to say that out loud, but I think that's how I felt. And Luke, he changed all that. And it was a profound gift, even though it was deeply, probably the most traumatic, hardest thing I've ever done as a human being, but it also transformed us in the best ways.
So why do you think, now I'm going real deep here, but why do you think we try so hard to do it all, or, you know, whether it's keeping up with the Joneses or, you know, just keeping up with maybe our own high standards, you know, why do you think we do that to ourselves? Because I mean, I think this is a common thing that women do. They try to keep it all together, you know, I guess people in general. But what are your thoughts about that? You know, what have you learned in that regard, or maybe why other people do it?
That's actually a great question, Bridget. I think we feel like we have to prove ourselves, like we have to be worthy of God's love. And the way that we're worthy, the way that we feel like we're someone that God can love, is by the things that we do and by the people that we love. And I think I felt like I had to do all the things the right way. I had to be the right kind of Christian. I had to be the right kind of mom, the right kind of wife, in order to be worthy of his love. And it wasn't until we had Luke that I thought, what the heck have you been thinking this whole time, Kevin? Like, he already hung on the cross for you. Like, he's already in. He loves you no matter what, no matter what baggage you bring with you. And I think I felt like I had to be a different version of myself instead of being fully who I am. And I think through recognizing the faults and the failures, that he gave me an opportunity to hand it all over to him, and I could say, please redeem it, find a way to make it good. And he did. And then I was like, now, like, it's almost like the light bulb went on. Okay, now I get it. But as women and as human beings, we determine a lot of our self-worth based on who we are, what we do, and what we can accomplish. And we forget that just as we are, that's the way that God loves us, just as we are.
We're going to have to take a break in a minute or two, but I want to ask this question and kind of get started with this next thought. What were some of the things that you jettisoned to kind of have more peace? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I want to hear this list, because I mean, I think these are things that we can all kind of jettison and to kind of help ourselves get closer to God. But go ahead and launch with what you jettisoned.
Well, I stopped cleaning bathrooms for one. I made my kids do them. That's one. There's one practical one. So when my kids get sassy or disrespectful, they have to clean a toilet, and that has worked beautifully. I don't know if that means that my kids are really sassy or if I'm really smart, but I no longer clean my bathroom.
That's awesome. What else?
What else? Well, we took a hard look at all of the ministries that we were doing within the church, and while there are beautiful ministries, we sort of divided them into two categories. Like, is this a no or is this a hell yes? Like, which one do you really love? Which one are you really passionate about? And so I've been doing VBS for years, mm-hmm. 7 years. Mm-hmm. And finally I just said, I need to give it up and let somebody else do it. And it was a beautiful 7 years, but it was also time to give it to somebody else.
Right. There's a time and a season. And I think a lot of times we do have to take a hard look at how we're spending our time, because if we're not, you know, as moms and dads, you know, for those of us who are still in the trenches with that ministry, we have to realize that our domestic church is like our number one priority. And if we're doing all these other things, but we're not like tending to that, it's really easy to kind of think you're doing all this great stuff for God, but then what's God really called you to? On that note, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some more things that you jettisoned and how you can get real with Jesus. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Besides going to Mass each Sunday, we're all encouraged to spend some time with our Lord each week, to shut out distractions, present our prayers to God, and then just listen. In today's hectic world, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, chances are, there's an adoration chapel in a Catholic church not far from where you live. A place where you can spend an hour or just a few minutes in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. In a quiet, peaceful setting where you can really talk to Jesus, and more importantly, He can talk to you. Many chapels are open 24 hours a day. Here are some of the places where you will find adoration chapels: All Saints Parish, Our Lady of the Greenwood, St. Barnabas, St. Luke Parish, and St. Michael the Archangel. Why not stop by soon? Jesus is there, and He's waiting to talk to you.
What happens when you support Catholic Radio Indy? Local parishes and organizations have a resource to share their message. Listeners of all persuasions get to hear the unfiltered truths of the Catholic faith. And maybe, just maybe, you'll have a share in saving a soul for Christ. Won't you join our mission? Call 317-870-8400 or give online at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, and we have our guest on the phone from Texas, Big Texas, Catherine Whitaker, blogger, speaker, and author of Live Big, Love Bigger. And Catherine's actually going to be in town here coming up real soon. You're going to be in Fort Wayne on October 3rd and 4th, and then in the Westfield Carmel area on October 5th. And we'll give, do you want to go ahead and tell us where you're going to be? Exactly.
You bet. So on the 3rd and 4th, I'll be at St. Patrick's in Fort Wayne, Arcola. And then on the 5th, I'll be at Our Lady Mount Carmel in Carmel in the morning. And then at Turn the Page Bookstore in Westfield that afternoon.
Great. That's going to be awesome. So we'll have to go over there and see you. Maybe you'll sign a book for us, right?
I would love to. It'd be my honor.
So we were talking about some of the things that you decided to jettison after you had the situation with Luke, your preemie, and how it kind of rocked your world and made you realize you needed to maybe change some things. So what were some of the other things that you felt like just really needed to go?
I'd say this is the biggest one. So if you have kids, you should listen to this.
Okay, I'm listening.
We stopped. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
We stopped making our kids do things that they didn't want to do. So as parents, we sometimes think, oh, this kid's really good at music, or this kid really has great athletic ability. And so we sign them up for all the things starting at age 2 or 3, and then by the time they get to 16, they're burned out and they don't want to do anything anymore, and you're stressed out and you spend a ton of money. And we really looked at all of that and said, why are we doing this, and what makes the most sense? And so we started to adopt the rule that it's one kid per season, per activity. So they can only do one activity at a time. And sometimes, like right now, we have kids who are not doing any sports at all. They're not doing anything except homework and 4-H and church stuff. So it's not like they have this massively full plate. But we have a society that feels like we have to give our kids all the, quote, opportunities, because then when they go to college, they have to have all these doors open to them. And then we forget that it's okay for them not to be involved in all the things, but yet we don't model that ourselves as adults. We take on too many things. So I think taking a long, hard look at the activities that you do, and why are you doing them? Like, did you feel guilted into doing them, or do you really have a passion for them, and do they bring you joy, or are you just doing them because you feel like you should?
Yeah, I think I read something in the book, in the early part of the book, about, you know, is it worth it? You know, you sign up for these things that you volunteer for, but then you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I think we get into this mindset that we just, it starts to add up. You know, it's sort of like the snowball effect, and you just add one more thing and one more thing, and then you look up and you're like, oh my gosh, how did we get to this point? And I think you got to look at your life and say, I mean, is this worth it? Is the sacrifices that we're making travel-wise worth it? Are the sacrifices that we're making money-wise worth it? And you really have to take a long, hard look, which is what we did. And I would like to tell you that we did that because we were such great parents, but we really did that, Bridget, because we got in over our heads and we were stressed out. In fact, I think I looked at Scott and said, Scott's my husband, and said, the cruise director is tired. I can't do it anymore. And so we just got in over our heads, and that's when we really took a hard look and asked ourselves some hard questions and said, are all these things worth it? And is our peace worth it? I think that's what it really came down to, is do we feel peace? Are we grateful? Do we have knots during the week where we don't have anything? And that's okay. It's okay to say no to really good things because your peace is more important. Your relationships with your family are more important. So that's, I guess, maybe the biggest thing that I hope people take from taking a long, hard look at their life and what they should do and what they shouldn't do is, where's your peace and all of that?
So do you have, what are your priorities then now? Now what's, you know, the after, you know, the before and the after, maybe the priorities, I mean, maybe they're not different, but maybe the way you execute them are different. I mean, can you talk about that? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I think we looked at our kids finally and said, what do you like to do? I think for some of the kids, we said, oh, you should do X, Y, and Z because mm-hmm. you would love it. And sometimes I think as parents, you have to push your kids to do certain things because maybe you know that they're going to love it and they get into it and they do. But as they start to get older, they start to develop really beautiful gifts and talents and abilities that God wants them to use. And so instead of me feeling like, well, they should really be involved in swimming because they would be great for it, instead I would look at them and say, what do you want to do? And they would say, I want to do swimming. I want to do cross country. Okay, I'll get up at 5:30 and take you to cross country. Let's go run. So instead of me being the driver of what they wanted to do and what they should do, we started to let them be the driver of that. And then if we needed to pull the reins back and say, maybe, you know, we don't need that many practices, or maybe you need to spend more time on homework, and then you can do these other things, that's the case. But, boy, really helping our kids discern and pray about what God wants for them, I felt was an important skill to give them before we launched them out of the house, because I wanted them to know that it's okay not to do everything, and it's okay to sometimes pull back and ask Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? And then they can dive in, and they can dive in with peace. So that was a really beautiful experience for our family.
So what about youth group? Because sometimes, you know, having been, you know, youth director and working together in youth group, I mean, obviously you and I both get the value of youth group, but sometimes youth group isn't for all kids. I mean, do you force your kids to go to youth group, or maybe that's not the way they learn? What would you say about something like that?
Well, our kids go to Catholic school, so they get a lot of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they obviously, in order to be confirmed in our parish in Texas, they have to be a part and active member of youth group for a certain number of years. They're actually confirmed their sophomore year, so in high school. So for us, we required that they go, obviously, during confirmation time, and then we left it up to them. And gratefully, you know, we've only had one go all the way through. We just launched him to Texas A&M. But he got really involved in the leadership team. But that was all him, Bridget. We didn't say, you have to do this. I said, I think it would be a great opportunity. I think you should look into it. But we didn't require that of him. I think ultimately it comes down not necessarily to all the things, religious things that your kids do, but are you helping them to develop a relationship with Jesus? So when things get hard or when they feel like they have nobody to turn to, where do they go? And our oldest had some hard things that he went through, and I was grateful that the influence of some of the priests at our school, that's who he turned to, that's who he reached out to. And I think that was hopefully because we had instilled a love of Jesus in him, and he knew the people that could help lead him there. I think that's way more important than 5 or 10 ministries that your kids may participate in at church. It's that real relationship, and they only see that when they experience it in their own home. So we try very hard to model what we preach.
So what are some of the things you do at home if anyone needed some tips in terms of maybe prayer life or that kind of thing?
We do one really simple thing. We actually keep Christmas cards throughout the year, and we pull out a couple of cards every night, and we read those cards aloud, introduce our kids to those families, and then we pray for that family every night. We pray rosaries on road trips, because if I didn't, I would leave my kids on the side of the road. There have been some times that I'm like, what? Whose idea was it to have all these kids? So we'll pull out the rosary and we'll pray the rosary. And the kids each lead a decade. I think it's just small. I've learned, Bridget, that it's always the small things. We pray whenever we see accidents on the side of the road. We'll pray for those families. We've asked our kids to do beautiful things during Lent. We have like this little Lent box, and they can pull out different sacrifices to do every day. And I think sometimes we get caught up, and especially in Catholic world, I think we get caught up in our living liturgically, and I think it's beautiful and great, but I also believe it's all the little things that add up to showing them how to have a relationship with Jesus. So those are just a few little things that we do that have, I think, been really fruitful in our family.
So what's it been like to publish a book, and what do you hope people take away from that?
Well, it's been crazy to publish a book. That could be a whole other segment.
I'm sure.
I hope, Bridget, that people read this with a heart that I sat at my dinner table and wrote this book with specific people in mind as I would write certain chapters, because I wanted it to be relational, and I wanted it to be real, and I wanted it to be authentic. That I love a cold beer, and I love to watch football, but I also love adoration, and I love spending time with Jesus. So I wanted people to really feel like the way that they were living, that Jesus was accessible to them, and that he was present to them. and that he loved them for who they were and that he's present in their story. And so we all have a story. Mine just happens to be in print, but hopefully my printed story will help someone else see God in their real story and their real life.
So tell us again where you're going to be in town and what you're going to be talking about.
You bet. So I will be at St. Patrick's in Fort Wayne and just talking about living authentically in crazy big Catholic families and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. And then on Saturday, October the 5th, I'll be at Our Lady Mount Carmel. There's actually three of us speaking. Another is an Ave author, Mary Lenneberg. We'll be talking about Womb to Tomb. So life issues. It's Respect Life Month. That should be a beautiful morning. And then that afternoon, I'll be at Turn the Page in Westfield doing a book signing.
So if people want to get your book or read your blog or maybe invite you to speak to their parish someplace around the country, are you traveling anywhere nationally at this point?
Golly, I am. I've been to Washington, D.C. and New York City, and then I'll be in Illinois right after that trip, in Indiana, California, Tennessee, all over Texas. I've been to Louisiana. I'm hitting them all. I'm hitting a few.
That's awesome.
A few places. But yeah, so you can find the book on Amazon, and then my blog is teamwhitaker.org, and on there, there's a little speaking tab, and if anyone wants me to come speak, you can certainly click there and learn more information.
So any main message you want to share with our audience of, you know, what you hope that they can get or how they need to live authentically, any quick tips that you have for us?
I think the biggest thing is it's okay to say no to good things. It's okay to say no to good things because it allows you to say yes to the things that matter. That's my biggest take-home message.
Give us your webpage one more time and where you'll be.
You bet. TeamWhitaker.org is the blog, and then I'll be in Fort Wayne on the 3rd and 4th. And then in Carmel and Westfield on October the 5th.
Catherine Whitaker, blogger, speaker, author of Live Big, Love Bigger. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Faith in Action. We look forward to seeing you when you're in town.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
God bless you, Catherine.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.